You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. And there's times in my life I wish I just had one of those voices, like those guys they get to do the voiceovers for trailers, because right now would be a perfect time to be that guy who does all the Disney trailers, presenting a magical world of excitement and adventure as a young boy travels across Poland, making new friends, having great new experiences, and having the wild come right to his front door. It's Jerzy Kaczynski's The Painted Bird.
Man.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, Eddie Murphy as the goat.
Oh, no.
Dude, that goat was Black Phillip. It's so nice to see he's still getting work.
Living deliciously.
God, that's too on the nose.
Is that where it was?
We were talking about The Painted Bird, a adaptation that kind of startling it took this long, but if you've read the book, which I have, I actually was a big fan of this book growing up. It was a huge hit, this book, like a monster success, this book. Winner of awards all over the world. Super fucking bleak and dark as fuck, but, you know, huge, huge thing. And no one has even attempted to make a movie before now. Polish director, and I have no idea how to pronounce it with the accent marks on it, but Vaclav Marhul, my apologies go out there to Maciek. This is a 2 hour and 48 minute, I believe that is correct, 169 minute adaptation, which is weird because the book itself is quite short. It's very, very short.
But wait, so they expanded upon things?
No, it just covers it rather quickly, you know? I mean, it just goes over the things. Okay, well, that happened, and then that happened.
Could this just been a book review instead? Good God.
I get the feeling some of you guys did not care for this.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I have stated before, not a big fan of, like, studio films. So when I hear something described as challenging and I see that people have walked out, I was like, you know what? Not even gonna look into this movie. Just let me see it. This sounds kind of crazy. And oh, do I regret making that decision. Because this isn't people walked out because, well, at least in my interpretation, I wouldn't have walked out because of how shocking it is. I would have walked out because I don't see anything really redeemable about this film. And I think the kind of backstory of how this film even came to be is a part of that. There's some history with this where it's like, well, whose story is this? And
I mean, what difference does that make, though? There's some confusion over whether or not it was true, but I don't think that makes it as a story any less valuable.
Because for me, it seems like this director just wanted to make 3 hours of misery porn. And wow. On top okay. of that, kind of pretentious misery porn, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
We are going to be on way opposite sides of this one because I think this is one of the best films I've seen this year.
Oh, man.
That was Adrian being wrong. Hi, Adrian.
Hello. Wrong again.
Also being wrong is right.
Hello. I actually will say this is extremely devastating, but I kind of liked it a lot, too.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's good to hear. See, that's I'll take it. And then the mystery man, no one knows what he really thinks. No one knows what Bradley really thinks. Will he like this film or will he think it stinks?
You know, I might steal that. I enjoyed that lyric. Well, yeah, I'm here too, and I don't even know what I think about this. I don't know what I think about anything anymore.
Oh God, did I discombobulate you that much with my song? I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's like the other day we reviewed something, and you said, "Oh, usually the spouses of the reviewers are mad at the stuff that their partners watch." And I said, "No, me and my wife love watching stuff together. Not anymore. That's over. That ended."
I'm officially no persona non grata in the Bradley household.
Yeah.
Bradley hasn't smiled since the movie ended. I forgot how.
And that was just like 10 minutes ago, because yes, the movie is long.
Yeah, you just finished watching it.
There are photos that exist of me smiling, and I say to myself, who is that man?
Who was that man? Yeah,
who was that man?
Camera closes in on Bradley, black and white shot. We see the wind blowing the weeds behind him softly. He takes off his glasses, looks down, looks up, and a single tear rolls down his eye. Don't pollute. Sorry, yeah, no, yeah, mix that up with something in the 70s.
I thought he was going to write his name in a window. But, no. Topical.
So let's go to the plot of this thing. We got to talk about this movie. It is all in black and white. It takes place in an unknown area of Eastern Europe, which, by the way, was very intentional. In fact, this is the first movie ever using the language Inter-Slavic, which is sort of a Esperanto for Eastern European languages. It's sort of a found language that combines quite a few languages from smaller countries around there. First film ever they actually used it because they wanted to be unclear about who was what and where. And that's understandable because everybody in this movie is a son of a bitch. So it follows this young boy sent by his parents.
That is the understatement of the year, I swear to God.
That is the point of the film. This young boy is sent by his parents to live in safety with his aunt, but she dies. This is no spoilers, like first 5 minutes of the film. And he accidentally burns the house down right after that happens in shock of like finding her dead. He's like, well, fuck, what do I do now? He's just a young kid. He looks, they don't say, but I think he's like maybe 10, 11. It's hard to say. Prepubescent, to be sure. So he has a series of people that he encounters. And there's no better way to say it than whoever wrote the Wikipedia description. His adventures are a series of horrific encounters with ignorance, exploitation, and depravity. Very true. The nicest person he meets in this whole thing is a Nazi.
So what does that tell us in 2020?
It's true.
Oh, no.
Because from this healer who obviously is taking advantage of her village and says, oh, well, that kid, he's a vampire. You should let me have him, because she wants a personal servant, basically. And then there's like a guy who's like crazy jealous with his wife and ends up murdering a dude because he thinks by gouging out his eyes, by thinking the guy's staring at his wife, and that all goes sideways real fast. And there's something about a bird breeder who's a nice enough guy, but this wild woman in the neighborhood who he, I guess, has sex with in exchange for birds every once in a while. Also, she has sex with all the boys in the village, and so all the women in the village beat the shit out of her and murder her because she's...
Oh, God, that's right. I have to say something real quick. I watched it this morning, and, you know, it's a great time to watch a movie that's like mixed between Schindler's List and Tin Drum at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was frantically texting my friend, and I was like, oh my God, they just did this thing to this woman. And yeah, this movie it goes places that I've never seen before in movies.
Well, suffice it to say, the stuff I listed is practically a Disney film compared to the next couple encounters that he has.
Oh, Jesus.
He literally gets thrown by a Catholic priest into a pit full of shit at one point. That's the type of life this kid is having. It's not a happy story. And ultimately, it really is about making the argument rather strongly humans are inherently evil, which I think is a Nietzschean, certainly, but a valid argument. I think what they did that really made this work as well as it did for me was how just astonishingly well this thing was shot. I mean, this was like watching one of the great photographers at points, especially there's a sequence with Udo Kier in it where I was just blown away by some of the photography during that sequence in particular. Also appearing here in small roles, Stellan Skarsgård, Julian Sands, Barry Pepper, a gotta have been dubbed Harvey Keitel, right?
He had to be dubbed because I guess he wasn't trying to speak it phonetically, but it definitely did not sound like his voice.
No, he didn't say motherfucker after everything he said, so... Yeah, this is a movie, obviously, it's not going to be for everyone, and it will be widely and has been widely discussed in sort of art film circles and more indie circles this year, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see this take home some awards at the end of the year, especially for cinematography, because it is drop-dead gorgeous. But in terms of a movie that is unrelentingly dark and is going to make you feel like shit through every second of its runtime and make you probably feel like shit days afterwards, hey, we have a winner.
First prize.
I'm trying to think of like where to even come at this movie, because I did think I'm sticking to what I said of thinking this is kind of pretentious. I do think it's shot pretty well, but I don't know. Like this just if the intention of the film is this kid's kind of trial through hell, kind of like the Dante's Nine Circles, that's kind of what it felt like to me. If that was the intention, you know what? You win. You accomplished it. You've created a film that is just vile. Okay, this is the type of movie that if you were to show aliens, they'd be like, all right, let's just get rid of the planet. There's no saving them. There's nothing here.
That's an interesting point, though, about the nine layers of hell, though, the nine circles or whatever it is, because I wonder if there's actually nine chapters and if each layer of hell matches up with each of the encounters that he comes across. I truly wonder that. That's actually kind of an interesting idea if that's what the case is, because, I mean, he does encounter very different people. A couple of people end up taking advantage of him. I mean, I don't know if this really spoils a lot, but like they do sexually take advantage of him, which is insane. But I wonder if it just actually correlates with that.
I mean, I get it. There's certainly two different ways to look at this film. And there is something to be said, like, why would I want to watch something like that? And it's because art isn't always supposed to be like just bringing you the good stuff. You know, the things that make you feel good. Even horror movies, like, generally are there to provoke when being scared in a positive way. That's a good feeling to be scared. It's fun.
Absolutely.
Art isn't always about being fun. And I think that this really effectively gets down to the deepest horrors of the human heart. It's very Andrei Tarkovsky, like, extremely Tarkovsky. Mm-hmm. If you've watched that guy's films, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's definitely who this guy was channeling here, and that guy was a genius. So I don't know. I mean by the way, if you haven't seen anything by him, Stalker is the one you want to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of what I really appreciated, just what you were saying earlier, Chris, is the cinematography. Like I even though it was long, it's practically a three-hour movie, what I noticed very early on is that the cinematographer, and I guess by the direction of the guy, is that they had a lot of moving shots. Like, it didn't feel slow, because, again, it was just relentless with the material that it was throwing at you. But even with how they filmed it, it didn't feel like it was just taking forever on something. Like, the editing I thought was really good. And yeah, and again, the cinematography was pretty damn great.
You know, and the thing about this as well, for a 3-hour movie, almost 3 hours, I was never bored during this at all. I mean, admittedly, that might be because it's like, who could get bored when you're wandering through hell and they keep going, are you ready for the next room? But
hey, do you remember Julian Sands? Oh, you won't forget him this time.
Yeah, right. And boy, that guy, like, I don't wish that guy's end on anyone. Holy shit.
I think I actually yelled at the screen. It's like, oh, come on. Golly, really?
But it moves quickly from one thing to the other. It does not spend too much time in any given scenario here. There's a lot of different like sequences this kid runs through in this film. And at the end, I was like, I'm genuinely surprised that was 2 hours and 48 minutes, because it felt like it went by pretty quickly for me.
Well, boy moves on from monster to monster to monster. It is relentless. It's tragic, disturbing, very sad that things in brain have unseen, denied folders. Ugh. Super gross. Like, yeah.
Something that I was thinking of throughout watching this movie is that if Sallow got a Criterion Collection DVD, this will probably get one too. I feel like this.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not as foul. Well, no, this is a very vile film. Sallow just kind of puts it, just takes it to that extra level of like, I want to just not look at the screen. But to me, they felt kind of similar. Like they definitely have something to say. I just do not think I'm the audience for it.
I never have braved Sallow either. I've read so many reviews of it, like really in-depth things, and I'm always, even really positive ones. I'm like, this just doesn't look like the movie that's going to appeal to me. But I can tell you one major difference is Sallow is extremely graphic, and overall, this really isn't all that graphic. It's more implied.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, like, insinuated scenes, like, and that's what I think that was really cool about some of the editing choices, like the way they explain some of the characters, even though like how monstrous they are, even like with Julian Sands, you think everything's kind of hunky-dory, and then you're like, he looked at him weird, and then all of a sudden there's just a scene that takes place, it's like one shot, and you're like, oh shit, he is a monster. Yeah. But the way they don't have to show the rest of it, they just show the kid's reaction and then some action, and that's it.
It reminded me of, and I know this is going to be lost on all but everyone, but there was this band called Alice Donut from the 90s, and they had this song that was like one of those reading a story over the song, that where it's like this kid who goes through this layers of hell, through all these people just molesting him and beating him and all this shit, and finally ends up with this super Christian couple who's like, we love you and none of that shit's ever going to happen to you again, and you're going to be okay from here on out, everything's going to be okay. And the song ends with and he says, and the kid goes, sure.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of why, for me, like, even if they didn't show everything, even if something was kind of implied, the fact that this is, we're following a really good child actor, I'll put it out there, the main kid is fantastic, but seeing his emotions, it for me made it way more disturbing than Sallow. Like, I felt bad. I felt like I was watching a kid, a child actor, who was possibly gonna need therapy after filming commenced.
Well, it was his first movie too, so
no,
that's what movies are. Fuck that. Like, putting that kid through the ringer with this movie, I was thinking the same thing just watching. It's like, god damn, that poor kid. Like, how did they explain some of the things to this kid of like what was actually happening to him? And he watches it like 10 years later. It's like, that's what this was about.
Anyway, well, let's go to final thoughts. We'll let Adrian start this one out, as he has clearly joined the members of the damned now, and his soul can never truly be washed clean.
Yeah, this is not for me. I'm not the audience for this. I do love challenging films, and this was challenging for sure. This was challenging to get through because you're just seeing a kid just be tortured for almost 3 hours. And unlike something like Beasts of No Nation, which is kind of similar in a way where you're following a child go through these atrocities during wartime, there was something about that film that kind of just had me hooked. I don't know if it was the story or the performance. This film, it does feel way more artsy. It definitely feels like it's going to get like a Criterion Collection Blu-ray. And it feels like it's made for fans of the Criterion Collection and of artful war movies like this. Like this and Come and See from the 80s. And I'm not one of those people. So for me, this was just kind of torture. I felt like I was suffering. I felt bad for this kid. And ultimately, it didn't leave me with anything other than just like a feeling like I have to take a shower. I'll give it this. The performances are great. The main kid is fantastic. The second Udo Kier gets into the scene, you know things are going to just get worse. he's great in it too. I like all the kind of like little cameo performances. And I do think it's filmed pretty well, but overall, I'm struggling to find out. I'm struggling to see what the overall point was. And even with that said, I do like the way that it ends. I think it ends on a very, very strong note and a very strong shot. So it's not a bad film at all. It's just, man, you really got to know what you're getting into, and you got to know that you're the audience for this, because I definitely wasn't. Overall, I'll give this movie credit. I'll give it 3. Oh, man, what do I even say? 3 hours of therapy I'm going to need out of 5.
Okay, right? I'm going to caution you not to look back at your wife while you're leaving, but go ahead and tell us what you think of this.
I really did enjoy it in a lot of ways. I thought, it was a really great movie. I thought the performance by the lead actor, the kid, you start to realize, honestly, like halfway through, it's like, wait a minute, he hasn't even spoken a word, but he's been saying so much just through his actions. And that's what you also realize, that he has no lines throughout the entire film, I believe. And like, he's mute, at least by the end of it. And yeah, just the editing and the cinematography is pretty damn great. I am one of those types of people that like just loves to watch very challenging movies, to what you were saying earlier. But something like this seems like it's definitely important to see this kid's perseverance go through all of this, and for him to change, because you do see that throughout the entire film. There's definitely parts when I was just wishing, it's like, God, can we wrap this up? I don't know if I can go through more, but the kid is going to go through more. Like he's ultimately going to, that's going to happen to him. And by the end of it, what you were saying earlier as well, is that it ends on actually, I think, a really hopeful note, because what happens in the very last shot is that he, at least how I interpret it, he doesn't forget his humanity.
Right.
And I think that was extremely powerful, because I mean, I don't know if I could say that, if, you know, I know that a lot of this is not true based on the author's story, but I mean, if I went through something like this, I don't know if I could remember my humanity. And the fact that this kid did, at least in the story, I thought that was a very hopeful note. So at least for me, I would give it, oh Lord, what can I choose from this movie? And I have to be very careful about this. I give it like 8 out of 10 goats. I love the goats. And you guys know what I mean by that.
I do not love this goat.
It's a horny goat.
No.
Quite literally, in more ways than one. To clarify just something you said, where you were talking about how, because we talked about it off mic, but not on mic, the idea that this was a true story was spread around more by Kaczynski's literary agent for a while, although he certainly did not openly deny it. And it was a matter of some controversy, the idea that, oh, this was actually what happened to him. Apparently he had told her, I feel like this story means a lot to me because I grew up in Poland as a child. He was actually taken in by a Polish, he's Jewish, but he was taken in by a Polish Catholic couple who hid him from the Nazis during this period. And reportedly, his own reports were quite kind to him, but he saw a lot of suffering and horrible stuff. So his idea is like, okay, so I have the background to feel like this stuff, it may not be true, but it is true in a way. And she took that as saying it's true and it all happened to him. So... It was never published as nonfiction, though. Like, never have they released an edition of this that I've ever seen that says this, a true story. Bradley.
Well, I agree with you. This is a very beautiful film. I like the environment. Very big character. Always enjoy that. Nature, dangerous. People, even more dangerous. This film is like, watching a master painter and his strokes, and it's beautiful, and you just wonder and are in awe of how colors could make something so amazing. And then he finishes the painting, and it's you getting stabbed to death by a goat man who's licking your face while he's killing you. And he says, "Here you go. Here's the painting." And you go, I don't know if I want to take that." And everyone's looking at you like, "Seriously? You're not going to take a painting from this master of art? What is wrong with you?" So you take it and you put it up in your attic, and it haunts you, and it'll haunt you until you die. Well, let's go with 3 eyeballs, and you wonder where the other 6 are. I guess it'd be the other 3. Not good at math right now, but thank you. This was quite a trip. I won't forget it.
So I've read this book several times, so I was ready for what it was to some degree. I mean, there's certainly something different between reading and seeing visually, but it was tamped down the shock of it because I knew what to expect. And I had read reviews of it as well saying, like, yeah, this thing is brutal. So going into it, the thing I was worried most about was being bored by it. And I was not bored by it at all. It was actually quite investing. And I agree with Wright was saying that last moment at the end really does, it, as simple as it is quite touching when taken into context of the whole everything this child has witnessed. It's an incredibly well-made film of an incredibly difficult story. And I think we should all, especially everyone living right now, should take its point. Don't trust people not to be evil because they are. And I think I'm seeing an awful lot of people saying, come on, why would they? Because they're fucking evil and they don't care about you. They care about themselves. And I think this actually makes this a valid time to remember how fucked up people can be and how selfish they can be. I think that makes it a good time to put out and watch a film like this right now, because we do need to be reminded people are dangerous. They are. And it's important for you to be the one to stay human in the midst of all this inhumanity. I think The Painted Bird is one of the best films I've seen this year. Actually, I really do. I don't know when in the hell I'm going to revisit it. I could completely see watching it with commentary, though. If there was like a solid commentary track of this, I could totally see wanting to see that version. But it is tough. It is a ride through hell. I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10, kind of hot wild woman.
Well, her milkshake did bring all those boys to the yard.
It did.
I'll drink to that.
I was like, wow, this movie's just like Porky's.
Oh,